At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Season, but that doesn't stop the hockey train from rolling. Hello again, everybody. This is your good friend Patrick O'Dowd, joined as always by the most pessimistic Caps fan on the planet, David Ungar. We are here to welcome you into another edition of Bandwagon Nerds. Bandwagon Nerds is, of course, brought to you as a part of the ChairShot Radio Network here on thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And I am full throttle into the holiday season. The university closed this past week. Kids have gone home, but I'm still working Monday and Tuesday. I'm working Christmas Eve. We'll see how long the workday actually lasts on Christmas. Tomorrow, we're recording this on Sunday. Obviously, this will drop on Tuesday. So by today, like your boy Patrick might make it to 1 o'clock at best. I have a feeling by noon o'clock, I'm going to be like, Christmas Eve, I'm out. I just, why are we here? You know, why are we? So how are you, Dave? Are you in the holiday spirit? Like, are you ready? Like,
I am.
Has Hanukkah started yet? I don't even know.
Yeah, Hanukkah started a while ago, but
what kind of Jew are you, man?
The kind that just goes with the flow, Pat. You know, I'm like the feather in Forrest Gump. I just whatever, okay, wherever it takes me. Fair enough. No, we're into the holiday spirit. We just did Six Flags Holiday in the Park on Friday. Took the day off. Went up there, got some s'mores. You know, hung out, got to, my son rode some rides.
Hold up. Hanukkah literally starts the evening of Christmas Day, evening of December 25th through Thursday, January 2nd.
I'm glad that's, you are, thank you.
Wow. How did you, Hanukkah starts tomorrow, bro.
Hey, I never had a bar mitzvah, so I just, you know, I'm Aesop is the more Jewish of the two of them. Go anyway.
That's fair.
No, it was, you know, Six Flags was fun as always. They got some rides that are down. They're repainting like Goliath and stuff like that. And I, you know, Six Flags is one of those places, not like Disneyland where you just go and it's like, oh, I can ride everything. There you've got to be selective at my age and pick what can the body handle, what is just not going to work and that sort of thing. So, but son had a lot of fun. We got to see the lights, which is always nice. It's funny, Pat, because I love Halloween. I love Fright Fest.
Yes.
And I was like offended by where the zombies normally stand. There's people in holiday gear smiling and waving at you. And I'm like, no, this doesn't work for me, but it's fun. I mean, it's nice. So yeah, that was cool. We got, I'm like you, I'm working Monday and Tuesday. I think we get out at 2 on Tuesday, but that's, you know, card subject to change sort of thing where people are going to be like you, like I'm out of here at noon. Screw you guys.
It's so funny. Like, and I get it. The world continues to move and work. Like, I get it. I do. And yet, at the same time, I'm like, realistically, because of where the holiday falls, like my boss's boss left early this past Friday and is now off until January 6th. Like, I like tomorrow because I like these work days in the context of there's nobody to bother me. Like, there's nobody around. Like, I'm gonna get my work done. It's a bowling day. Like, we still bowl on Mondays because we don't break unless it's the actual holiday, which, much to the disappointment of the members of my Thursday night bowling, as they keep asking me, do we bowl on Thursday? I'm like, yes, it's not Christmas Day. So we bowl. And so I always know I'm going to get a lot of what they call pre-bowls, like people who bowl because they're not going to come and you have to bowl ahead of time. So I'm going to be punching in a lot of scores come Thursday, but that's okay. Life will go on. I've been plugging away through my holiday specials. There has been no Christmas cheer for me on the hockey side of things. The Blues are still, they're a middling team. They're a game under 500. They're well out of any sort of playoff race right now. They are not going anywhere this season. And so mentally for me, hockey is already done. Although they do get the national spotlight come New Year's Eve with the Winter Classic, when they play fellow out of the hunt hockey team, the Chicago Blackhawks. And I got to tell you, I appreciate the NHL trying to make it sound like it's a game worth watching. They're like, St. Louis takes on its bitter rival, the Chicago Blackhawks. We don't care. Blues and the Blackhawks don't really care about it. We're so miserable right now. Like, we want to win that game, but there's no, like, must beat the Blackhawks sort of thing. Hell, I am so uninterested in hockey right now because my team is out and the college football playoff started this past weekend, and I got excited for that. And so I told you this before we hit record, and you guess it was like, I'm calling an audible, and I want to not talk about hockey for a little bit. So we are going to talk about some hockey stuff after the commercial break. But to start the show today, here we are on Tuesday. The first round of the college football playoff happened with Indiana, Clemson, SMU, and Tennessee all going down, and not just going down. None of those teams was truly in the game. Truly. Like, there's people arguing that Clemson made it interesting. Clemson made it interesting the way that Indiana made it interesting, when it didn't really matter. Like, it didn't really matter by the end of that game. And Indiana scores two touchdowns late, all in garbage time. Like, it was just, you know, it was what it was. But Go ahead.
As I said, Clemson did get within 7 with like 8 minutes to go. So there was a chance. And I was generally, because it was like 31-7. We were out golfing and I was like, this game's over. Then we got back and I'm like,
But why was it 31-7? Like, why did the comeback happen?
Texas
the
took comeback their foot happened off the because, gas.
Yeah, Texas let him back in. So, like, here's the thing for me is garbage time scores notwithstanding. The thing that was very evident after this weekend is that there are not 12 teams that are true kind of quote-unquote national title contending team. There just aren't. Tom Fornelli out of...
There might be eight, maybe.
There might be, and I think, and we'll see that next week, because I think the biggest team in question is Arizona State at this point. Arizona State, Boise State as well. I think Boise State is in danger of getting boat raced by Penn State. I hope they don't. I hope that they are the team that gave Oregon a run. Arizona State was the team nobody expected to be. They were picked to be like dead last in the new Big 12, and they won the stinking. They have a running back that's just a bowling ball. He's very Mike Allstott, just run through everybody sort of deal. And he has I can't remember his name. He has a great name. But it just was – it was very – I like the idea of the college football playoff. I do think it was seeded poorly because of some of the rules they put in place. Because imagine the quality of these games if Arizona State is not in a bye, and if Boise State is not in a bye, and Ohio State is in a bye, and I can't remember, I don't know who I would argue would be the other one who deserves it. Probably Texas. Was in a bye. I don't think so, but I think you might, you know, what if you get a Notre Dame Penn State game instead of, and not that the atmosphere for Notre Dame, Indiana wasn't great. Right.
That's
two squads in Indiana. Yeah.
And that's
that was probably the best atmosphere.
That's what I was saying to you. I know we were talking earlier, and like the games weren't competitive. The atmosphere was top notch. All four venues were excellent. I mean, it felt like a playoff game. It felt like something bigger than just a regular season game. So they got that part right.
And that's why I think, you know, I was talking to Greg about this. I was texting Greg because Greg was like, Indiana doesn't deserve to be in the playoff. And I'm like, they won the games in front of them. And he was like, well, Alabama would give, you know, Notre Dame a tougher game. And honestly, outside of the 98-yard touchdown run where Indiana got caught and that speedster of a running back, just nobody was going to catch him, their defense actually held up relatively well. Their offense couldn't do shit. And that's been really kind of their problem when they've stepped up in competition. Even their win over Michigan, the defense for Indiana has been stout. The offense hasn't been as effective against higher caliber defensive opponents. And that played itself out this time. And the defense just couldn't. The defense wasn't going to be able to keep Notre Dame down forever. And the offense needed to figure something out. And Curtis Rourke couldn't get it all done. His receivers couldn't get open. They couldn't run the ball. It was reality for them. They were a team that, you know, honestly, if they're under a different Big Ten schedule, probably doesn't win 11 games. And I think that's valid. But I also think that this weekend played out and showed that I don't think that flipping in Alabama or Ole Miss or South Carolina, the three SEC teams that were 9-3 that felt they had a case. And nobody, by the way, is whining for South Carolina, by the way, which reportedly, based on the way the bowl structure is, was the first team left out of the college football playoff from the SEC because they're playing in the Citrus Bowl against the University of Illinois. And that goes to the first two conference teams that are out of the playoff. So according to either Alabama wanting to play Michigan because that's a more marquee matchup, or South Carolina genuinely being the first team in, I don't think any three of those teams makes a better case or necessarily a better game than the teams that did get in. And I think that when Indiana lost, all of the SEC dogs came out being like, this is why it should have been an SEC team and not a Big Ten team. They're a bunch of posers. They suck. When in reality, at worst, Indiana was the second best loser this weekend behind Clemson.
Look at
that. At worst. At best, they were the best.
Well, the SEC.
Because, again, one monster play.
Yeah, the SEC trolls can come out and say that. But then you look at the one Big Ten SEC matchup yesterday, and Ohio State beat the hell out of Tennessee.
It wasn't even a game.
No.
It wasn't even, like, so here's the thing. I was, like, you know, OSU goes up 21-3. Tennessee looks like they've maybe figured something out, right? They score late in the first half. They're down 21-10. And then Ohio State said no and just clamped the whole team down, clamped Nico down for the most part. They minimized him. Trenches make such a big difference. Line play makes such a big difference. That's why Penn State dominated SMU. Better line play. That's why Ohio State dominated Tennessee. Better line play. And we get a rematch, an unfortunate rematch between Oregon and Ohio State next week, which I hate for this playoff. Like, that's a great game, and I'm happy for the Rose Bowl to get that game. Terrible for the college football playoff. Ohio State should be on the other side of the bracket. If they meet, they should have met in the final.
And it's going to be a neutral site, which will really level out certain
things. But it's in Pasadena.
It's an Oregon stronghold. It has been for many years.
If Oregon turns out, Ohio State will travel. Their fans will travel. They do.
It's an old school. It's ironic, isn't it? It's an old school Rose Bowl matchup, right? I mean, it's Oregon, Ohio State at the Rose Bowl. This would be a New Year's Day game under any other circumstance.
And you know who's thrilled right now? It's Texas. It's Texas and it's Penn State. Texas and Penn State having a party. Penn State, by the way, sneaky easier path to the championship.
Yeah.
Because I think Notre Dame is one overrated. I think Notre Dame has, you want to talk about teams that have benefited from their schedule. They lost to Northern Illinois and Notre Dame won should be undefeated with the schedule they have. Their challenging games haven't looked like they were that impressive. I think they beat Clemson, maybe was probably their best win.
Michigan, but Michigan's diluted.
But Michigan hasn't been good. USC hasn't been good. Purdue was terrible. Like they beat some sus teams. Like they didn't beat great teams. And Penn State now gets to go and take on Boise, and then they get the winner of Notre Dame and Georgia. And Georgia's without their starting quarterback. He went down in the SEC championship game and is out for the playoffs. If you're Oregon right now, how pissed are you? You go undefeated, and you're going to draw Ohio State and Texas, most likely, if this plays out and you win, to get to the championship. That seems like one shitty reward for going undefeated.
Right, and I don't understand, and maybe you could explain it to me, if Oregon's the one seed, why aren't they playing like the 5-12 winner? Because in theory, the 12-1, that would be the lowest seeded.
You would think. It's all because of the rules that were made to allow for a group of five teams and conference champions to get by. Because Arizona State, by winning the Big 12, got a bye. Boise State, by being the highest ranked unaffiliated, not on group of five or group of whatever conference, got a bye. SEC gets a bye, Georgia gets a bye. So they had to reshuffle everything for some of these other teams. And so that then turns it like this first year, you kind of got to give the seeding process a pass, right? Because this is this idea and how we think it's going to go. Well, what really actually happened wasn't what happened. So now we sit here and we're like, this is stupid. Why is it seated this way? Oregon got a raw deal. And already, I love it. Everybody is picking Ohio State now to beat Oregon. Like, Ohio State, Vegas has them. The opening line from Vegas was a one-point favor to Ohio State. All of a sudden, everybody has forgotten that Oregon was head and shoulders the best football team in college football. They are forgetting that Ohio State looked like absolute garbage against Michigan, a middling Michigan team that for them, they're 7-5 is what they are going into their matchup against Alabama.
They didn't play it this year, Oregon and Ohio State. They're on different sides of the Big Ten, right?
No, Oregon and Ohio State played. Oregon won. Okay. Oregon beat them. Okay. It was a really great game. It was a high-scoring affair. It was I think they combined for almost 90 points, and it ended when their quarterback didn't clock the ball as they were trying to drive for a game-winning field goal. And Ryan Day didn't, it was just, they got out-coached, and it was just a slugfest of scoring. Neither team could stop the other from scoring.
There's no reason to expect anything different in Pasadena.
No, not at all. Yeah. It's the matchup of the playoffs. It's of this second round, because nobody's excited about Texas and Arizona State. That I bet you money that game will be on Friday, because it'll probably be Penn State and Boise State. I haven't seen what the schedule is, but if I were to do it, Penn State and Boise State would be on Friday. Texas and Arizona State would be the noon game on Monday. Notre Dame and Georgia would be that 4 o'clock game, followed by Ohio State and Oregon as the nightcap. That is the, in my opinion, the ranking of matchups and interest. Texas should get the job done against Arizona State, because I don't think Arizona State, which is such a run heavy offense, I don't know that they're going to stand up well against that Texas defensive front.
And these are all games, if you're playing in Arizona State or you're playing in Boise, then you look at those games a little bit differently. But this neutral site thing is going to really, whatever advantage
had
is.
Because Arizona State's playing in the Fiesta Bowl.
Oh, okay. Well, so that's a home game then.
Right. So it's so funny. And I'm watching, the way these different prognosticators have kind of sussed things out. As experts who seem to think they know what's up. I don't buy Notre Dame. I don't buy Texas, because Texas has been inconsistent. I bought Georgia till their quarterback went down, but Georgia hasn't been Georgia this year. So I just this college football playoff has so far left a bit to be desired. I think next week's matchups give you two good, and I think that that'll be worth checking out with Notre Dame and Georgia and Ohio State and Oregon. I hope Arizona State gives Texas a run. I hope Boise State can give Penn State a run, but I got to see it. So we'll have to wait and see. Thank you for letting me talk about the college football playoff. We never got to record our college football playoff show.
You know, I'm not
with Tony, so.
Like, I don't follow college football religiously like you do. I've always been a pro guy sort of thing. But on the other hand, I was such a big proponent to expand the playoff because I thought the 14 format just caused so many problems. But I wanted 8.
Right.
I thought 8 would be the sweet spot. 12, like you're saying, revealed some flaws in ranking and seedings and just how that may have worked before you had all this condensing
and
of the
conferences. And the striation of quality of where programs are. And that's because nothing against Indiana. Like, they had a phenomenal season. And outside of those higher quality teams, they boat raced everybody that they played. Like, they crushed everyone. But I also wonder, so inevitably, we're never going backward. No. We're going to either get bigger or stay
there's
the same.
There's too much
so
money to get bigger.
Right. Inevitably, I think we end up with a 16-team playoff. I think it'll be a few years before we get there. I think next year we will definitely see a change in how they seed things, so that it plays out, so that you get better quality games. And then the other really big thing to think about is, you know, the government, Supreme Court, ruled in favor of revenue sharing with programs to help sort of rein in a little bit the NIL money that is just flowing around like candy. And I do think that eventually we're going to end up in a place where, at least at the collegiate level with football and men's basketball, collective bargaining is going to be a part of the process, because it has to be. Because right now, it really is whoever can throw the biggest check at a guy is generally going to get him. And I'm going to actually talk about college basketball to kind of reflect this. Do you know where the number one 2025 recruit in men's college basketball went this year? His name is AJ DePanta.
They just announced it, and I'm trying to remember. It was like, was it... I don't remember. SC?
Nope. It was Brigham Young University, because they were able to pull together, reportedly, now this is allegedly, I don't know if it's true, $7 million in NIL to lure him to the top Mormon college in Utah. And kids, here's the thing, is this tells you everything you need to know about what a school stands for, because it's not about your religion at that point. Because are you trying to tell me that AJ DePanta is going to go to Brigham Young because he's a good little Mormon boy and is going to take and be gone and come back and play for you when he's 26? No, it's ridiculous to think that he will. But because you've got Mormon money lining your pockets, you're able to buy that guy. And maybe you are a competitive team. They did it again this year, too. They picked up the top recruit out of Europe, a guy named Igor Demet. They picked him up, and people are nuts about him as well. But when you sit there and you look at him, it's like, he's not, like, they don't give a shit about the foundation of that university. And that's the other thing that's kind of sad to me as a person who works in higher education. Like, collegiate sports, the academic profile of an institution used to be, and you still have to get into the school. Like, you still have to be qualified to get into the school. But it makes it a heck of a lot easier to talk yourself out of your own academic mission if you can get players and win national championships and get that money and that revenue. And schools are starting to prove it. You know, when I look at Big Ten schools with their high admission standards, particularly when it comes to transfer, that is tough. That is very, very tough. And it's not, you know, it's not leveling a playing field right now. It's mercenary work. And that's unfortunate. So, all right, there you go, kids. That's your college sports corner with your Uncle Patrick and your Uncle Dave. Listening to us, I can't say I didn't watch those games, though. I did watch them. So they got what they wanted, and I'll probably watch again next week because I am sipping my holiday nog and enjoying my time off. So we're going to take our first commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little hockey and then get on out of here. You are listening to Hockey Talk here on the Chair Shot Radio Network, part of the chairshot.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcast galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Hockey Talk here on the Chairshot Radio Network, a part of thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. Remember, if you love what we do, if you need a last-minute Christmas gift, head over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Get that special wrestling fan in your life a chair shot shirt. Unfortunately, at this point, don't know that it's going to get shipped there in time, but hey, maybe it's a belated holiday gift. Maybe it's a Hanukkah gift. Maybe you're Dave, you're a lapsed Jew, and you forget when Hanukkah is, and you need a present for that eighth day. There you go. ProWrestlingTees.com/chair shot and invest in one of those shirts. Dave, we were talking about goalies last week. I want to keep talking about goalies this week. We did. We talked about goalies last week.
I was just looking at the Commanders and Eagles, and I think Jalen Hurts got hurt. Of course, they've spotted him a 14-point lead before he goes out, so what does it matter? Anyway.
You would think. Where was I? Oh, I lost my train of thought there. Oh, just a couple of goalies who have been doing some big things. I wanted to start yesterday as we record this. It's yesterday. We're recording here on a Sunday. Shout out to Jacob Markstrom. Has 22nd career shutout and his second in a New Jersey sweater. He's going to be goaltending for Sweden in the Four Nations faceoff, and he is now one perfect performance back of the most by a goaltender in their first season with the Devils franchise. He is behind. I'm going to mess these names up. Well, Corey Schneider, I'm not going to mess up, and Johan Hedberg, I'm not going to mess up. But what is it? Vitek Vanacek? Vanacek is one behind those three. And given where we are in the season, I feel like he's got a pretty good chance of pulling that one off for his Devils. What do you think? Jacob Markstrom, Devils playing really well, leading the Metropolitan Division.
So what is the stat we're looking at?
It is, let's see. He had his 22nd career shutout, his second in a New Jersey sweater. He will be representing Sweden. He is now one perfect performance back of the most by a goaltender in their first shutouts with the franchise. So three is the most that anybody's had in their first season. Here we are at this point. He's already got two. I'm feeling like Markstrom's got a pretty good chance of passing well beyond three. I know shutouts are hard in hockey, but it seems like the odds are pretty good.
He could get five. You know, the Devils are a pretty good team. So, yeah, I mean, four or five in a year should be doable. He's a really good goalie. He came over from Calgary, right?
Yeah, I do believe so. So,
unfortunate.
Here's the other thing I wanted to talk about. You know, we looked at the field of players last week for the Four Nations faceoff, and we kind of talked about the United States and how we like how they're standing. Well, you know who their goaltender is going to be, right? For the United States.
Isn't it? It's not Ottinger. Is it Ottinger? Biddington.
No, it's Connor Helbig.
Oh yeah,
ready to represent the United States. You know what he did yesterday? He got his eighth regular season shutout and 41st of his career. He passed John Van Beesbrook and Frank Brimisk for the fourth most by an American goaltender in NHL history. Now, that qualifier of American goaltender is carrying a lot of weight there, because there are obviously a lot of foreign-born goaltenders who are Canadian-born, Swiss-born, Russian-born, plenty of other goaltenders who have done better. But he really had, you know, we keep talking about the Jets every week, and, you know, and they just keep doing what they're doing. They're points leading. I gotta say this though, makes me worried about their chances. Come Stanley Cup time. Is what usually happens to the top points getting team in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Well, and as we've said on this show many times, the Jets are world beaters in the regular season and not so much in the playoffs. And I'm still not quite sold on them as being able to take that next step when it really counts. For now, yeah, they're tops.
They are tops. Also, okay, negative Nancy. I'm sorry that your Washington Capitals are number two in the Metropolitan right now behind those New Jersey Devils by a point. But why this week are you dooming?
I don't have any problem with the streak ending against Dallas.
It's doom of the week.
I didn't have any problem with them losing to Dallas. The loss against Chicago was a fucking debacle. And I know I shouldn't be that way because good teams lose to really bad teams all the time. It happened in the NHL multiple times this week.
That's why we play 80 plus games, man.
But man, I hated the end of that game. They just kind of, they had a 2-0 lead. I watched that game. I'm like, they are outplaying Chicago at every step of the way. Chicago's got some good goaltending, but yeah, you can't blow a 2-0 lead to the worst team in the league in the third period. And they outworked them. Chicago, especially in the game winning goal, they just outworked the guy to the front of the net. Logan Thompson didn't play particularly well. So I was very despondent. But then they come home, finally, they get a home game, and they take care of business against Carolina. So maybe I was, you know, jumping the gun and time to, you know, rethink things. But they're fine. Like, and you noted that Alex Ovechkin, the no-contact sweater has come off. He's not going to play before the break. That's fine. But, you know, they're going to get him back for that last half of the season. They're still going to make some noise, I think. But, you know, Jersey's going to be a problem because they're young, scrappy. They know how to win. They know how to score. This is the team that we thought they would be a year ago, and they just never showed up. But they've come along this year. But I was going to ask you, I'm looking at the wild card standings. Freaking Ottawa is now the last wild card team. I mean, this is like Ottawa's been the butt of many of your jokes, Patrick, over the past few. Here they are.
Rightfully so. They are having a good season. You know, they're currently sitting at fifth in the Atlantic as of Sunday. But, you know, you look at they score well. They don't give up a terrible amount of goals. They're on a 6-game winning streak.
Are we at the point? I know we've talked about this team every week. The Rangers. Is it panic time in Manhattan now? They're 5 points behind Ottawa for the last wild card.
It's five alarm fire. In New York, and they aren't making trades and aren't making nearly as many moves as I think they should be for a team that is strong. I mean, they acquired Will Borgen. That's like their one big
who? What?
Right. They acquired a fourth round pick in Uro Vakanen. I can't even pronounce it, in exchange for Jacob Trouba. Like,
I mean, I know it's like we're not even halfway through the season, but I look at a team like the Rangers who are struggling. The Dallas Stars, despite beating the Caps,
they're
a point out from the last wild card. They're supposed to be a Stanley Cup contender this year. So, like, what is going on? You know,
and again, you're right. There's still a lot of time to go, but it is. Yeah, it's just not. It's not happening. It's just not happening for New York at all. And you just re-signed, you know, you just extended Shesterkin. So he's your goaltender. Like, he's your guy. So you got to get some people around him to help him, because right now it ain't happening.
Well, and even if things went really bad and they wanted to trade him for assets, nobody's going to take that contract.
Right. No, it's just yuck. So. All right, I got one other thing I want to talk. I got a question for you, and this is where we'll go on. Is Austin Matthews the most snake bit player of 2024, 2025 so far?
Is he hurt as again?
As it was reported today, yesterday actually, he did not play for the Leafs in a 6-3 loss to the New York Islanders on Saturday in Scotiabank Arena because of a quote upper body. He just came back on like a month ago, less than a month ago, November 30th, he came back. Apparently it's an injury he's been managing since missing time earlier in the season. So according to Craig Berube, he took a cross check late in the third period on a power play and aggravated this existing injury. I get it. You're hockey players. Hockey players are tough guys.
When he's healthy and he's in the lineup, the Leafs do pretty well. But that's hit and miss.
Right.
And you can see what happens when he's not there. But Austin Matthews is like, you're too young to be this injury prone, dude. You need to, you know, meanwhile, you got old man Ovechkin broke his leg and he's trying to get out there, you know, as soon as possible.
He's skating around. They got videos of him. Everybody's super excited. Yeah. I feel bad for the guy. Like, you work so hard to get back. You're trying to play through an injury. And then that happened. Like, just a rough, rough go. I hope this is a little thing. I hope the mysterious upper body injury is just that, a little thing that doesn't take him out for too much time. And we see him back sooner rather than later, because the Leafs need him and hockey needs their stars. Right. And Austin Matthews is one of them. I have a young student who works for me, big Leafs fan. Kind of sad. I won't get to see them tomorrow to listen to them wax poetic about no Austin Matthews.
Yeah, and you got to look at how that's going to impact that Four Nations tournament if he's not good to go.
Right. Sure, they'll find somebody. There's plenty of fish in the sea out there for that. So, all right. We're coming up on time here. Speedy recovery, Austin Matthews. Winter Classic, we actually still have another show before the Winter Classic happens. So we'll be able to not get excited for two of the worst teams in hockey to play on national television on New Year's Eve. That'll be exciting. But we'll be back to talk about hopefully some more exciting trades. Maybe the Rangers will have done something by then. Maybe Dave will, you know, be happy with his Caps again. I'm sure he won't. I'm sure there will be some team that they lose to this week where Dave is texting me being like, this is it. The season's over for the Capitals. Hey, man, it's all done.
Can we use the Capitals defense instead of the Commanders? Because I bet you they could defend the run better. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Saquon Barkley is having a season of seasons, man. Like,
he's going to break the rushing record today against the Commanders in one game.
He's fucking awesome. Like, you sit there and you're like, bro, you survived the Giants. Here you go. Enjoy. All right. We've talked a little bit about everything today. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We talked a little college football playoff to start the show. We gave you your hockey fix. We talked about Saquon Barkley because Dave is a sad panda over his Washington Commanders. We're going to get out of here. Dave, before we get out of here, tell everybody where they can find you on the Chair Shot Radio Network and on the socials.
You can find me on X at Commanders Suck. That's going to be my new handle right now, but no. You can find me on X at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGG. And on Blue Sky as well, at the same handle. And Facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression and at Attitude of Aggression, all one word, on Instagram and Threads.
Excellent. And you can follow me on all of the socials at Wrestling Realist. That is at WRESTLNGREALIST. Guess we every Monday, Tuesday, not Wednesday this week. We are not having a Christmas Eve Greg DeMarco show. Perhaps there might be a fun Chair Shot Radio holiday special or something coming along those ways. PC Tony's always got something cooked up there. So, folks, have a wonderful holiday. Watch some bowls. Watch some hockey. Do all that good stuff. Watch the NFL. They have games on Christmas Day. It's going to be a great, great week for sports, and we should all be there to catch it. So thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll catch you next week. This has been Hockey Talk here on the Chair Shot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.